Have you looked at the weather forecast for the next few days? Does anyone know what we're in for? Pardon? Hotter. Yes, hotter. It's a funny thing about us, isn't it? We have this obsession with wanting to know what weather lies ahead. Especially now that we've got our phones and the apps tells us exactly what's going to happen. You know, we like to know if it's going to be sunny or if it's going to be rainy. If it's going to be hot, we want to know how hot. If it's going to be cold, we want to know how cold. If it's going to rain, we want to know how much, even before it comes, and then we get disappointed that we don't get as much as we were told we were going to get. Some people don't care about the future in regards to the weather. They just take what they get each day and they're not too fussed. But for most of us, particularly here in Victoria, I suspect, maybe because it changes so much, we have this obsession. Well, tonight I have a weather forecast for you. Windy today and storms tomorrow. Doesn't sound too exciting, does it? I'm not talking about outside, though. I'm talking about our life. For a lot of us, that's the forecast. Windy today, storms tomorrow. And what do we do when that is the case? Well, we're going to pray and then we're going to have a look at God's word and get some answers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you know the future far beyond what we know. We may be able to look at our various forecasts for the weather and get it right for a few days. Yet, Lord, you know what tomorrow holds. Not just the weather, but every part of our day. And you know what the next day holds and the next. You know what next year holds for us. You know what the next 5, 10 years. You know the forecast. Thank you that you've gone before us. You have prepared everything. And as your children, you will stop and allow things as you see fit. And I pray that, Lord, as we look at your word this evening, that, Lord, you may help us to trust you more in whatever winds we have to face, whatever storms we may have to face as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Two men in the Bible that had a few things in common are Paul and Jonah. What do they have in common? Well, they were both missionaries. They both found themselves in a ship. And they both found themselves in a storm in a ship. Jonah got himself in that storm because of a rebellious heart. He was running away from God. And that's a very scary storm to be in. If you want to avoid any storms in life, avoid the ones that come as a result of a rebellious heart running away from God. Yet Paul, on the other hand, he was in a ship and he found himself in a storm. Yet Paul was heading exactly where God wanted him to go. That's the difference. Now, it's true, he made some mistakes along the way. He knew without any doubt that God wanted him to minister the gospel to those there in Rome. There was no question about that. God had revealed this to him. But Paul, despite all his greatness, he also made some mistakes. I suspect not out of a rebellious heart, but just some misjudgments. See, as we were looking at Paul through the book of Acts, may not have highlighted specifically, but 5 times God told him not to go to Jerusalem. But Paul's heart was to have one more opportunity to preach the gospel to those people there that he loved so much there in Jerusalem. And so he wanted to go to Jerusalem and preach to his Jewish brethren before he went to Rome. Yet God said, through various means, if you go to Jerusalem, there will be chains awaiting you. Yet he still went and did this. And because of that, he ended up, just as God said, in a big mess, in chains, not quite getting to Rome as he first expected. And because we know, we learnt that as he was there at Jerusalem, there were men who made up stories about him, and he was put in prison, and he stayed there for 2 years. And I think we find ourselves in situations like this at times. We have our heart set on something. Yet a caring friend may come, encourage us that it's probably not the best thing. Maybe even we notice the wooing of the Holy Spirit telling us that this isn't the best thing for our life. Yet we have it fixed in our heart that this is what we want to do. And so we push on, continue, only to find ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. I don't know if you found yourself making a big mistake and you realize, hey, I should have listened to those people or that advice or those thoughts or feelings within inside, but I was too stubborn. I should have listened to the Spirit's leading. I should have sought far more diligently God's will, yet you find yourself in a lot of trouble. Well, that's how Paul found himself. I do find it encouraging, though, that when he was in prison, not really God's first choice for him, that when Jesus appeared to him, he didn't give him a rundown of all the mistakes he made and how silly he was, yet he gave him a word of encouragement, and he said, Paul, just as you have been a faithful witness in Jerusalem, you must also preach the gospel in Rome also. And so he reminded Paul that he understood that he had been faithful. And that despite going against his wishes, he was still going to go to Jerusalem and preach the gospel. I find that comforting because I know that I certainly make mistakes. I hope that most of my mistakes are not out of a rebellious heart like Jonah, but are simply mistakes of judgment, because I'm not all-knowing like my Heavenly Father. I don't possess all wisdom like my Heavenly Father. I'm a human being, and I know that often in my feeble attempts I make mistakes of misjudgment. Good thing is, as we learn from the Apostle Paul, God's able to take those mistakes and use them for his glory if we are gracious enough or willing enough and humble enough to allow him to do that. And for Paul, he was still going to minister in Rome, just like God said, but he wasn't going to go first class now, he was going to go budget class. Prior to going to Jerusalem, he had the freedom to go where he wanted, to go how he wanted, and to spend as much time wherever he wanted. He could have gone first class to Rome. But because of mistakes of misjudgment, now he went budget class, if you would call that. Paul was in chains, and he couldn't control where he went, and how he went, and when he went. But God was still in control and he was going to get him to Rome despite these things. The Romans thought they had a prisoner on their ship heading to Rome to plead his cause before Caesar. Yet, as far as God was aware or concerned, he was a missionary heading to Rome to preach the gospel. That's what was really happening in the scheme of things. And that's where the difference between Paul and Jonah lie. Jonah was on that ship and he finds himself in a storm out of rebellion against God. Paul finds himself on a ship in a storm, going exactly where God wanted him to go. And most of us, particularly children, know about Jonah's storm. We all learn about it. Yet how often do we learn about Paul's storm? If you're going to be in a storm, that's the storm you should be in. In a storm, heading exactly where God wants you to be. And that's what we find here. And tonight, and then also in January, we're going to look at Paul's journeys as he heads to Rome, and we're going to look at the storms that he faced. Before we start looking at that, though, I would like you to turn to Psalm 107, because this is a rich scripture that shows us what storms are about and why God allows storms, physical storms, real storms in the real sea, and then also storms in our life. Paul was about to head into a storm, but we see here why God allowed it. Have a look at Psalm 107, verse 23. It says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." We'll leave it there for a tick. I have never been out to sea at all, actually. And I certainly haven't been out to sea in a storm. And as far as I can have control over my life, I never intend to, all right? There was a George's River up in Sydney. It's just a normal river. I went out on a boat with Hudson, who was here, his dad. And I got a little bit sick just on the boat when we were fishing, you know. So I don't want to go out in any sea, and I don't want to find myself in a storm. But we have the picture here. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And we see that Paul finds himself in a storm in the book of Acts. And the Lord is saying, why I bring these storms into people's lives as we go on. And it is so that we will see his greatness. Have a look in verse 26. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Now, that's a nice, terrible picture, being in a storm. You're going right up, and you're going right down. And you feel incredibly sick. You stagger like a drunken man. That's not because you're drunk. You're just terribly sick. And you're at your wit's end. It says your soul is melted because of troubles. Now, do you understand what God is saying here about storms? This tells us why God allows storms and the purpose of storms. Because as much as we would like to run away from storms in our life, regardless of how scary storms may be and how terrible they feel, the Lord allows storms in our life to bring us to our wit's end, it says here. To bring us to the end of ourselves. See, the Lord allows these storms for a reason. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to be melted within and be at the end of ourselves. And it's then we can see the wonders of God. You see, we like to see the wonders of God on a clear day, where there's no trouble. But God says, no, I bring storms so your heart is melted to bring you to the wit's end so you can see my wonders. And that's what Paul is about to experience. His life is totally out of his control. There is nothing that he can do in this storm in his life. He's chained to a ship at sea. He has no control of the events that's about to take place. But he's right where God wants him. Totally at God's mercy. Now we see that when we're in a storm, it's the Lord's desire for us to cry out to him. You see, and we read on in verse 28 of Psalm 107, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." You see, we have a tendency not to even think about the Lord when everything is smooth sailing. We feel as though we have control of our life. We're able to deal with the circumstance that come in. And when there might be just a little bit of a dip, we think that we can handle these things. And we don't even think about God at all. That's why God allows storms to come into our life. To shatter all that self-confidence. All that potential pride, so that we are at our wits' end and we are completely troubled. And what do? When we're like that, we cry unto the Lord for help to bring us out of our distresses. And what does he say? He maketh the storm calm. And what do? Then we read on in verse 30, "Then are they glad because they be quiet? So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." You see, when God gets you through a storm and you understand that it had nothing to do with your own ability and strength, but it was all the mercy and grace of God that got you through, that's when you feel compelled to praise his name. Thank you, God, for getting me through this terrible time. And so when we're on one side of a storm, we're petrified, we're scared, we're at our wits' end, we wish we wouldn't have to go through it. And when we're going through it, we're miserable and it's scary. And we cry out to God, and when we get through the storm, we praise his name. That's what storms are all about. Now, we like to avoid storms, but God knows we need them at times. And so that's why at times it's going to be windy in our life. Other times it's going to be storms. Windy today, storms tomorrow. And we see the Apostle Paul in a storm, and we're going to learn some lessons. So would you please turn to Acts chapter 27. And with that, we'll have a look at a map of this journey. Let's have a look there in chapter 27 and verse 1. It says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band." Can you turn these first two? Thank you, Tim. The spotties in the first row, that way. Is my head in the way? Yes or no? It's all right? Okay, I'll stay here then. Verse 2. "And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched." Notice the word "we" there. So Luke is with them. "We launched," meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. "One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself." And so, we see here, over there, he's gone from Caesarea to Sidon, and there he gets to spend some time with some friends. And then it says in verse 4, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." Now, if you look at that map, you might think to yourself, no, they sailed over Cyprus, not under Cyprus. What's wrong there? Well, I'll let someone that's a lot smarter than me explain to you what that is. Mr. Barnes says, "Instead of steering a direct course in the open sea, which would have exposed them to violent opposing winds, they kept near this large island so that it was between them and the westerly winds. The force of the wind was thus broken, and the voyage was rendered less difficult and dangerous. They went between Cyprus and Asia Minor, leaving Cyprus to the left." A sailor would express the idea by saying that they sailed under the lee or under the protection of Cyprus. Had it not been for the strong western winds, they would have left it on the right. And so when it says, "We launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus," that's meaning under the lee or under the protective shelter of Cyprus. And so that's the direction they want. And it goes on and says in verse 5, "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia." But the key phrase that I want us to notice there is in verse 4, where it says, "Because the winds were contrary." I want you to get this. It's been around about 2 years. Paul's been stuck in that prison. Yet he had a promise from God that he was going to go and preach the gospel at Rome. And now finally, he is going in the direction that God wants him to go. He's finally getting to do what God says, "Paul, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to Rome." And as they set sail to Rome, what do we find? "And the winds are contrary." It's not smooth sailing. No, the winds were contrary. And one thing you can be very sure of, you don't have to go very far in the right direction before the winds of the world are going to smack you fair in the face. Understand that. The time that you start to head in God's direction, you can be sure that the world is going to make sure that the winds are contrary. If you think that you can choose to go God's way and it's going to be smooth sailing, you have you've got a lot of things to learn. Maybe that's what I should say. You're making a very big mistake. You can be sure that as a young person, the day you decide to put the Lord first, there's going to be contrary winds. The day you as an adult start to put God first at work, you can be sure there will be contrary winds. You exalt the Lord in your family, understand that there will be contrary winds. The winds of the flesh are going to rise up. And you will realize how much you were living for the flesh when you start wanting to live in the Spirit. And the flesh will start to beat against the Spirit. And they will be at war one with another, as God says. The winds of the world, the winds of the flesh. As soon as you get in tune with God, those winds will start. Just like it did with Paul. As Paul was heading in the direction that God wanted him to go, he faced contrary winds. Windy today, storms tomorrow. And these contrary winds affected him in many ways. Let's have a read. We read verse 5. Let's read verse 6. "And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein." So they were just making connections with ships, other ships, just like we might do at an airport with aeroplanes today. And verse 7, "And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus," The wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. You see, the closer Paul got to his destination, the stronger the winds got. And the reality is, the more you honour the Lord in your life, the more you seek His will in your life, the stronger the winds are going to get. And the more we want to glorify God in our life, we can be sure the stronger our enemy will blow against us. You know, I was only thinking this morning with our Sunday school. You know, we are blessed with all so many young people. Not just the teenagers, but all the ages. What a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. But do you really think that the enemy of our souls is going to let it be smooth sailing for us? He would love to destroy this church. He certainly doesn't want those little ones that are so cute and wonderful to grow up in a godly church surrounded by godly people where they can have that foundation of God's word and go on and serve God as adults. He doesn't want that. And we can be very sure that the enemy of our souls are going to blow against us at times. There are going to be winds. There are going to be storms. He's not going to let it just happen easily. Understand that. Now that's scary. In one sense, it scared me this morning. Satan doesn't want this church to survive. He wants to blow us off the map. You know, you go back a week before and you see all those one-way children. Do you really think that Satan is happy that we have a ministry to children in our community? And he's going to just let it be smooth sailing? And that we can just do as we will and do what God wants us to do without a fight? He's going to make sure the winds blow. He's going to try and bring any storm he possibly can to destroy us. Because he certainly doesn't want a ministry like that. Understand that when you seek to do God's will in your life, the winds will blow. And when the winds blow, there are certain things that can happen, as we see here that I just read, that happened to the Apostle Paul. Let me show you the three main ones here. We firstly see that these contrary winds can slow us down. It says there in verse 7, "And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus." The winds, as they beat against them, slowed them down. He was heading in the direction that God wanted him to go, and it felt as though he wasn't getting there. You'd think God would have the wind blowing so you get there as quickly as possible. But instead, it was blowing against him and slowing everything down. And knowing the Apostle Paul, who likes to get things done, I suspect after 2 years in prison, he wanted to get there very quickly and make up for lost time. Yet these contrary winds slowed him down. You ever feel like that? You know, we have plans, don't we? We have goals. And I think, silly, we often have timelines, don't we? I have these plans, this is my goal, and this is the timeline. Yet, contrary winds start hitting us. Things in our life come and they slow us down. And they can come in any form. It might be people who are slowing us down. It may be our health that slows us down. It could be the council that slows us down. It can be anything that slows us down. And the more we try to push and get to where we believe God wants us to be, the slower it seems to get. Well, that's what happened with Paul. Contrary winds slow us down. But secondly, we see contrary winds made Paul change his plans. It says there, the wind not suffering us, or not allowing us to go, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. So they were heading I didn't sort of point it out, but they were actually going to go right around the coast like that. But because the wind slowed them down, they changed course and they headed down to Crete. And so these winds made them change their plans. And boy, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we can have plans for our family, in the type of family we're going to have, the way that our family is going to grow up, and then something happens or someone comes along and destroys all those plans, and we have to change everything. Couldn't happen with our church. We have all these plans, something happens, everything changes. With our life, I have my plans, something happens, I have to change everything in life. Things happen, Satan attacks, and you can't do things the way that you would plan to. Winds don't often just slow us down, winds make us change plans. And when that happens, something else can happen, and that is, it can cause discouragement. Now, it's not shown here in black and white, but if you read there in verse 8, it says, "And hardly passing it," this is when they got down to Crete, "came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia." Now, putting the whole picture, after all the wait, wanting to get to where he wanted to go, yet the winds were just stopping him, making him change plans, we can assume that there was discouragement there as well, as he wasn't able to do what he had planned to do. And winds often bring discouragement. How often do you feel discouraged in your Christian life because you feel like you're battling so many winds, you just can't actually grow in the Lord? Little do you realize that's often how you grow, but you feel as though you're just not getting anywhere and you get discouraged. In your ministries, you seem to be dealing with troubles everywhere rather than growing in the Lord and seeing others grow in the Lord, and you get discouraged in your ministry, whatever it may be. You know, even as a family, as parents, you might be dealing with all the little fights in your home. You feel as though nothing is of any substance is happening in your family, and you can get discouraged as well. Discouragement can be a big part of our enemy's plans. And it's at this stage that we often get to the point where we might as well just stop trying. Stop trying to live the Christian life. Stop trying to serve the Lord in the local church. Stop trying to have a godly family. These winds have slowed us down, blown us off course, changed so much. What's the point? And it's here where the danger lies. Because at this time, that winds can get very deceitful and very dangerous, as it did with the Apostle Paul. Let me read what happened and then I'll explain it. And this is where we'll finish tonight. We'll take it up next year. But it says in verse 9, "Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past," that means it was winter time, "Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Let me explain what happened. The wind slowed them down. The contrary winds made them change their plans. and they landed there at Fair Havens. At this time, it was dangerous to sail and they needed to bed down for winter time. But at Fair Havens wasn't a very nice place to stay for winter. And they wanted to get down to Phoenix, which was a much nicer place that would at least bring a little bit of pleasure to a bad circumstance. Paul said, I advise us to stay here and don't go anywhere. Stay here because it's going to be dangerous if you go out in that sea from now on. But they listened to others instead of Paul and they saw a nice south breeze blowing and they thought, hey, this is all right. This is a nice wind. We could just go out and we'll just sail down peacefully to Phoenix and there we can spend winter. And so they went out and as soon as they got out into the sea, another wind, a tempestuous wind blew up and a storm came and they were in a lot of trouble. And we're going to see the trouble that they were in. But they made a very big mistake in trusting that deceitful wind. And brethren, there's a warning for us that I want us to leave. I want to leave with you today or tonight. And that is if you're in the midst of some contrary winds at the moment that have slowed you down, frustrated you, maybe ruined some plans, and even discouraged you at the moment, don't be fooled by the deceitful winds that make out that if you just move on a little bit, just go and seek this pleasure, just do this one thing, well then, at least there'll be some relief. And then get yourself caught in a terrible, terrible storm that you never wanted to be in. Be careful you don't compound the problem by making some foolish decisions that seem to be a quick fix of the problems that you find yourself in. God knew that Paul was going through some of these contrary winds. He understood it was slowing him down and making him change course and discouraging him. He must have told Paul, tell him to stay there. Otherwise, it's going to get really dangerous. But they didn't listen. And too often, we don't look ahead and see the long-term outcome to decisions. And we just think of the short-time fix. And we sail out and find ourselves in a terrible storm. And we're going to look at this storm in January and realize it was a terrible one. That was only through God's mercy they got through. But can I encourage you once again, if you have those contrary winds, just trust God through them. And He will get through you through them and He will get you to that place where He wants you to be. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can worship you and trust you just when our lives are easy and soft and still, but also when they are contrary and hard. I pray that the storms will bring us to our wits' end and Lord, we'll call upon you for mercy to help in these times. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.